Hey everybody, welcome to your Friday afternoon, your weekly dose of countermeasures here on Spotify and Anchor FM. I'm Bruce Nixon.
And Greg Rath.
You know, the dynamic duo, we're down in the Batcave. It's really cool down here, bro.
Bitchin'.
Like, totally. We hope you had a great week. One of the things we have to talk about right from the top is we live in Phoenix, right?
Right.
And you might be listening from anywhere in the world, but this has been like the monsoon to end all monsoons, rain and humidity.
That's global warming, dude, or climate change.
Right.
You know
but
it
you've
is.
You've lived here your whole life. Is this unusual?
No, you know what? I remember.
It's old school.
I think it's a little old school.
Okay.
I mean, there was obviously a drought going on, but I think we're kind of back to normal. I'm kind of curious, you know, who knows what the measuring stick is for this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right, I mean,
you know, if we go for 3 years, they'll say, well, you know what? We're still in a drought. We need this for 8 years. You know, who knows what really is. But you know what? I remember monsoons like this.
Like this consistent, this long.
Yeah, absolutely.
This cool of temperatures.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember it.
Right, just nice, cooled off. I mean, most people, when they think of Arizona, think of summertime at 110, 120.
Hotter than a you-know-what's nightmare.
Exactly. But we've been down in the upper 90s as a high.
Oh, we were down in the low 80s a couple of times. It was beautiful.
Waking up at 70 degrees.
Oh, yeah, it was beautiful.
I guess I'm just setting the stage to say to people, we're happy. You know, this is a nice thing for us.
It's beautiful.
Unfortunately, I saw 110 in the forecast coming up next week.
I'm going to shoot the freaking weatherman.
Exactly.
That's bullshit.
Like, all right, Lord, there's a couple of priorities. We need to get rid of the weatherman, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Nancy Pelosi. I mean, just all together. Natural disasters, fine. I don't want to judge their souls. I just would like the Lord to make the appointment. Is that fair?
I'll judge their souls.
All right. So, obviously, tonight's program is brought to you by our gracious sponsors, OLT Fabrication, located at 2301 West Broadway here in Phoenix. For any of your erection needs, that is steel erection, large or small, or fabrication, please give them a call at 602-276-4841. Again, that's 602-276-4841. We might also have one more sponsor.
Do we? Lifeboat Coffee?
Lifeboat Coffee.
Lifeboat Coffee. It's on the web at lifeboatcoffee.com. It's located at 7th Street in Dunlap, northwest corner. Come talk to us. I'm there usually Tuesday through Friday if you want to shoot the you-know-what and talk about, I'm not allowed to talk about
the politics. Things that matter most.
The things that matter. God, country, family.
Right, and nobody can take that away. God bless the First Amendment.
And the Second.
And all of them, actually. I like them all.
I like them all.
Yeah, we like them all. All right, tonight we're going to revisit some budgetary issues, and we've had these epiphanies breaking free, Greg. It's just been, I don't even know how to describe it. But
my head hurts.
Right. We're digging into actual numbers, and people go, we like to listen to news programs where they pontificate about waxing eloquently about subjects that doesn't really address an issue. I'm here to tell you, we're trying to address an issue. We've talked about the Arizona state budget in programs past.
Right.
But of late, we've been asking the question about who has replaced God and family in America.
I know.
Who was it?
The government.
The government. I mean, and this, I hesitate to use the word, but it is an abortion, an aberration, that somehow the government now has replaced husbandry. It's become the nanny, the lover, the bitch, the host, the dad, the mom, the grandma, and God to so many people. And people might, Greg, they might be saying, well, what do you mean? And let's just dive right into one department within Arizona.
Department of Economic Security.
DES. Let's set that up for the good listeners at home tonight.
Right.
Well, what's that? What's the annual budget that we uncovered?
About $6 billion.
That's six with a B.
With a big old B.
And do they employ a few people?
What did we say? 8,800?
8,800.
And their salaries are about $160, $180 million a year.
Out of the budget.
So it's not top heavy. No, it's not. You know what? I mean, from that standpoint alone, it sounds like the majority of the $6 billion is heading out to the entitlees, if right. you will.
But isn't that precisely what they want you to think about? Hey, guys listening at home, hey, Greg, we're unpacking this program, and we're fiscally responsible. Look, all this money is actually going to the people.
The problem
we
is, DES is not fiscally responsible in and of itself. Now, I'm not saying that we throw the baby out with the bathwater, but I am saying is that I would imagine there's a slight bit of abuse. In fact, I have a young lady friend of mine who works for DES, and she is an investigator for fraud. And I'm like, well, that's awesome. You know, how many people do you prosecute? And she goes, hold on, time out. It's internal fraud. I go, what do you mean internal fraud? They have investigators that prosecute and investigate their own people for internal fraud.
Wait,
I shit you not. I was dumbfounded.
I read that line item on the budget. I thought, oh, that's cool, but you're saying that's internal.
No, that's internal. Oh, and you know what? She's been there for, I want to say, 2 or 3 years, and not a single case, even though she's got plenty, not a single case was ever prosecuted.
Imagine that.
It's freaking incredible.
All right, so among these issues, we'll get back to the fundamentals in just a moment, but we uncovered the giant budget, the 8,800 employees. How many programs did we find? 40?
I'm going to read you them right now.
Yeah, please go ahead.
There are six categories. Basic needs, child and family, employment, older adults, disabilities, and employers. Under basic needs, which is what I think most people equate DES to, is adult protective services, food assistance, medical assistance, shelter and housing, domestic violence services, homelessness, short-term crisis services, utility assistance, refugee resettlement. That's snuck in there.
Ah, boy.
And then state assistance. And if you go to des.az.gov/services, you can take a look at this. Under family, you got cash assistance, child support, child care.
Medical assistance.
Under employment, you got unemployment benefits, employment supports, apprenticeship programs. But my favorite one, where is it? Or is that under employers? Where the hell is it? There is money you got an apprenticeship program, which I like, but they have money incentives to get you just to go to work. Just to go to work.
Wait, so on get one side of the coin, you don't have to go to work because none of these require a work program, right?
Right.
So you don't have to go to work, but we're going to pay you to go to work.
And don't forget, this $6 billion that they have, that doesn't include all the federal money that was given to DES from the state to DES,
right?
Taking care of COVID stuff. I mean, there's hundreds of millions of dollars for that. Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Okay.
That has absolutely nothing to do with the standard budget of DES. Amazing.
50 years ago, it was mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, local churches, nonprofits that took care of people.
But there's God involved.
Right. So
that's the problem.
We've jettisoned the good Lord out of the conversation.
Right.
And now the government is God.
That is it.
If you and I created a policy,
right,
a policy position,
right,
that said we need limitations on this and they have to meet strict guidelines. We talked about this.
I would be run out of town.
Right, because you're stealing from people, they'd say.
Yeah, no, well, that's their money. Well, no, it's my money taking from me.
Is it, though?
Or are we printing
ultimately,
it?
Ultimately, what these programs say is that you really don't have an incentive to work.
If you get the money, I mean, especially under the COVID, the COVID deal, I mean, you can get like, I know guys that are getting $800 a week. I mean, $900 a week on top of other stuff.
Right. But you, long time, almost 30 years in the police department, have your whole career and you pay all kinds of fantabulous taxes. You really, unless you're selfish, don't have any other reason to work other than for these other things that you want. Because they'll tell you, well, look, it's only fair that that you earn all this money.
That and if I want to live in a cardboard box.
Right. But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, it's...
But if we just said all together, look, we're not working.
Oh, you could still survive.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Now they've got... Did you read about... This is something we didn't talk about earlier, but there... Maybe we did talk about it earlier.
What's that?
2,700 unit low-income housing structure being built downtown right now.
Oh, yeah. We didn't... I didn't...
Did
we didn't
you read
talk
about that?
No, I haven't read about it.
All right. So this is part of DES's program that I read about. And I thought it was you and I that talked about it, but someone else. 2,700 units in a skyrise for economically challenged people.
Right.
They're going to live in downtown condominium style at the taxpayer's bill.
I want in on this deal.
Right. Don't I want to live in a skyscraper on top of Starbucks and the pizzeria downtown.
That I can use my EBT card
I
in?
I get free electricity. Free
oh, internet. Wait a minute. Don't forget the broadband.
That's what
the
I'm
new
saying.
Broadband that's coming out.
And I'm
that's
just saying it just seems like I'm being stripped. You're being stripped of the will to actually do anything.
Right. Absolutely.
Because the government's doing everything. Why do I want to?
I think I talked about this. I pay enough income taxes a month that I could buy another house exactly the same one that I'm living in right now.
With your monthly taxes?
Income taxes, yes.
Right. If you, it would be a separate mortgage.
I could buy exactly the same house. I could, if I had that money, I could have two houses.
Now, obviously, the devil's advocate in me says, well, that's only fair. Right?
Of course it's only fair. It's my money. I earned it.
No, I'm saying it's only fair that you're taxed that high because you're privileged.
Ah, it's a privilege. So
you
when my wife and I got married at age 23 and 24, and I had a $15,000 note on a car that I could barely afford, and she had $10,000 in loans that we paid for school and not two nickels to rub together, and she was in the bar business, and I was working in the bar business trying to go law enforcement, federal or local, or whatever I was going to do, that doesn't count?
No.
Because I'm
count.
Privileged, right?
Yes, you're privileged.
I'm privileged.
And according to latest research that I read online today, vis-a-vis Fox News report, was that only about 4% of the working class pay any substantial taxes, really. Meaning, the federal government, state governments make up money and click the keyboard. Maybe you should click the keyboard for sound effect. You know what
click,
I mean? Like,
click, 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 click.
They just click the keyboard. It's fantabulous that they could just make this stuff up. And
like
they,
$6 trillion?
Oh, all that. And they, excuse me, they say, well, look at all these revenue sources we have. I studied today, you studied today, the revenue sources that the state of Arizona claims to have. Special fees here. Taxes here. Well, they tax insurance sales, which accounts for $500,000 a year. I'm like, whoopty freaking do, right? And they just say, well, look at all these different taxes and fees we can levy. The printout is like 17 or 18 different line items. And the average person walking the street today, I'm among them, would never even imagine that I'm paying 17, 18 different taxes.
If you really want to, folks, if you really want to hurt your head, go pull up the budget for the state of Arizona.
Yes.
It's 700 pages long. I mean, it'll tell you everything there is to know, but you probably ought to go get a degree in forensic accounting to understand it, because it is an absolute abortion. It really is.
That DES 5-year strategic plan I pulled up, including the budgetary analysis, was 840-something pages.
Oh, it was insane.
For just one department.
Right, right.
Right, and if you read this, go to ArizonaCares.com. I think that's where they park everything, right?
Yeah.
And you can download all these PDFs for yourself, right? And you start reading them, and you're like, I feel like I'm in church. Like, these people love me so much that they've taken over everything that my family and God, the church, and the nonprofits used to do.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You've heard of the St. Vincent de Paul Society.
Yes.
Well, how can they be outdone? Well, they can be outdone by DES.
Absolutely, they
right?
can.
Right? I mean, it's an embarrassment. Why are they even there?
So my question, and then I would imagine, you know, remember the old days of tithing? The old days of tithing, 10% of your income or whatever, and that goes to the church, and the church divvies it out the way they see fit. And that's the problem. It's the way they see fit. And I would imagine revenues in churches are going down, because how do you pay 15, 20, 25, 30%, 40%, 45% of your income after all the taxes throughout your entire, you know, budget, how do you go and say, okay, now I'm going to give another 10% and try to save for retirement and?
And this is where we are. But the true sense of tithing from the Old Testament to the New is first fruits.
Right.
And this is very difficult for people to understand.
It is.
You make, I'm just going to say this. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you do or not.
Right.
You make $130,000 a year. I don't care what the number is.
Right.
What's 10%? $13,000.
$13,000.
According to the law or the demand of stewardship, you need to spread that $13,000.
The problem is, the problem here, here's,
that's your first fruits.
Absolutely.
That's what it says.
Well, it doesn't belong to you anyways. It belongs to God.
That's the law.
Well,
right?
The problem is these idiots on the other side that don't believe in that, believe that they're smarter than he is.
Right.
And so what happens is somehow we, again, and I understand where this thought process comes from because I'm always been I'm a fledgling Christian. I understand that.
Yeah.
But when you take from somebody, not from the government, see, the government is blind. The government is anonymous. So nobody feels bad for taking from the government because right. It filtered the money. It's a money laundering scheme anyways.
Absolutely.
So here comes this money from the government mafia. And so you don't feel guilty taking that. In fact, we are so concerned of you not feeling guilty that we put it on a card instead of a book of stamps or anything like that. So you don't look different amongst the other people.
And now they're direct depositing into
bank absolutely.
Accounts, right?
So, again, there used to be pride in your work, pride in your family, pride in how you take care of your house, you know, how you dress. And the problem is
–
And working.
I'm not saying you have to work to mean anything, but many people used to find meaning in their work.
Right.
Because it was good for their family.
Right.
It was good for the community, right? I don't know why your dad is still alive and working,
yeah.
But he's built his steel business and he works every day, and it's fulfilling, right?
Oh, I get to listen
it's
to
it's probably not the best thing that he ever wanted to do, but
no,
he does it
you know what? And again, you know, and that's a conundrum, and that we've talked about that a little bit of you know, if you got the foundation, then you kind of have the ability to, if you've got your foundation family, you know, God, you know, and you've gotten a little education and you got money and stuff like that, then you can kind of explore some of the more cerebral stuff. And, you know, one of the things that I taught my kids is, you know, money's important. It gives you options, but it's not everything. Do what you love, because if you're going to have to do it 40, 60, 80, 100 hours a week, you better love it or it's going to be a miserable existence. And the problem is because we don't embrace that foundation and we don't raise our kids right, and we don't connect with them, and we don't give them what they need and nurture them, they never have a chance to dream. But then what happens is the government comes in and will say, well, we'll give you the money so you can dream, but it's just bastardized because of that.
Well, not to mention, while you're on the subject of young people, they just retired the debt of a certain class of college persons, right?
Yeah, they're talking about, I think he approved it, 300,000 students that I think they had debt, they had school debt, but I think they were part of the, they were some sort of disability.
Sure. But they went into this freely through FAFSA, borrowed the money.
Sure.
You know, just for the record, I went to a private Catholic college on my own volition when I was 26 years old. My entire education cost me $80,000. I borrowed $40,000. I worked my ass off, flipped the house. Within 2 years, I had it paid back.
Right.
Right? I've got people that I went to college with in the 90s that are still struggling to pay their shit back because they're expecting the government to bail them out. I'm saying it's bad policy, but I'm saying anybody that entered into these contracts is responsible.
How do we expect our society to be responsible when the people that are supposedly in charge of our society, one, are not responsible for themselves and negatively reinforce by giving you money not to pay your loans off? How do we expect those people to have drive?
I don't think we do. I think we're 50 years into a country that has given up on a whole set of class of people. Colored people, Hispanics, minorities since the 60s. You're not good enough. You can't do it by yourself. Here's free homes. Here's welfare. It's ludicrous to me. Poor white people, you know, whatever it is. It's the notion is ludicrous that you can't be demanded of, right? If we could set some standards of time, right? And we're going to localize this to Arizona.
All right.
Hey, I lost my job. I need help. And he said, okay, you can have help for 6 weeks.
Well, you know what?
Before, why not do that? Hey,
before we do that, how about you talk to an old construction guy? I know quite a few. You know what the old rule of thumb was when you were in construction? Have 6 to 8 weeks worth of money in your bank account because you're going to get laid off from time to time.
That's right.
That's just the way construction works. If you choose to do that, and you know what? I don't have a problem with unemployment in a sense and a problem with a safety net. You know, like our friend Tara, she's got a kid that is deathly ill that her whole job is to take care of this child and take him to 15, 18 doctor's appointments to keep this kid alive. That is what a safety net is for. There is no way. I don't give a shit if you're a millionaire. You're a millionaire making all kinds of money, and all of a sudden you get hit with a kid like that. That's going to throw a freaking monkey wrench. And you may even need a safety net. That's what it's for. You know what? I've been doing the police work for 30 years, and I'm looking at all this homeless stuff for DES. Again, they got to want it even. I mean, I see that the programs are there, but why is the homeless problem not getting better then? I mean, I'm reading this Department of Economic Security strategic plan, and they talk about this stuff, and we were going to give more money to that. And again, I don't want anybody to be homeless. I mean, it would suck living out on the street. You get raped and robbed and stuff. I see this stuff all the time. But when are people supposed to be responsible for themselves? And before you say, well, you know what, they're all mentally ill, I'm going to tell you that's horse shit.
I wasn't going to say that.
Well, I tell you what, there's people out there listening right now.
Well, they are entrenched in drugs and problems.
Well,
that's
and
true.
You know what, though?
And it's no longer...
Well, it's an addiction. It's a disease now.
It's a disease.
It's not... You know, it's not criminality.
We've addressed this in a couple of different programs.
Right.
But it's a very important point. You can throw as much money as you want.
That's where this DES money, exactly. That's where this DES money comes from.
I don't want to know how they get it to them. Like,
oh, they all have post office boxes. Oh,
okay, so they go to the Sunny Slope station.
Wherever.
Or wherever and check in their box and they get a card.
They're, you betcha. You know, yeah, they can't seem to find a house. They can't seem to, but by God, they'll find that free dollar. They'll find that money.
I'm only laughing because there, but for the grace of God, go I. I mean, I get it, but where did we snap the whip and say, okay, God, family, and nonprofit churches, whatever you want to call it, are responsible for the human condition, and flip the switch over to the government? Well, when did that happen?
It for some reason, somewhere in there, somebody thought they don't want strings attached to that money. It's got to be that way. It's got to be that way because, again, remember the old days where, you know, I remembered my dad losing a job. That guy pounded the pavement and went out and got another job. By God, he was not going to take a handout. But I will tell you, I know I've done it. We've had help from our family and friends and stuff where we've had tough times. Families have taken care of one another. Again, we circle back. Right to that family foundation.
Right.
And I'm telling you, people, if you guys don't get your heads out of your ass and raise your children right and establish the foundation for those children that you're raising, you're going to perpetuate this and perpetuate this until there ain't no money left.
I'm going to take a brief break to remind you that our program is Countermeasures. I'm Bruce Nixon. He's
Greg Rath.
We're live on Spotify and Anchor FM, brought to you in part by OLT Fabrication, 2301 West Broadway, right here in Phoenix. If you need any steel work done, big project, little project, it's fun to call it erection because that's what they call it. Uh-huh. Fabrication 2, 602-276-4841. Again, 602-276-4841.
And don't forget about Lifeboat.
Well, I won't, but you're going to talk Lifeboat about Lifeboat
Coffee.
You love Lifeboat Coffee.
Best coffee in the world. 7th Street and Dunlap, northwest corner, lifeboatcoffee.com.
And we don't charge shipping, so lifeboatcoffee.com. Any 2 pounds or more, we ship for free. I can't believe we're halfway through this already, but here's the thing. I want to drill down on this for just one more time.
All right.
To give numbers out to the people listening tonight, wondering, well, what kind of people are we talking about, Greg? What are the numbers? Like, Greg, like, I'm totally listening right now, but I don't think it's that many people. All right, I'm going to drop this bombshell, and I need your – all right.
I'm just looking at a meme that's absolutely hysterical.
We'll talk about it in a minute. America has 1 in 5 people on SNAP or food assistance.
Hold on.
1 in 5, Greg. That's 20% of the population. 1 in 5. Now, that's, to me, such a staggering number. Like, you look down the street.
Well,
go down the street.
Well,
what's
20% of 300 million? Two times 40. Three?
It's 40-something million people.
40-something?
It's 40-something million people.
That's ridiculous.
About 47 million, to be exact.
I can't even fathom that.
But just to think about how we've let our country slide into a place where 1 in 5 Americans is accepting some form of federal
somehow the richer state assistance. The rich are involved somehow.
What's their fault?
It is.
If only the Waltons would pay more money at Walmart, we wouldn't have this problem.
Right.
I'll tell you what the flat-out truth is, America. If you really are that pissed off at Walmarts and Home Depots, don't shop there. Don't work there. If they don't have employees, they don't have consumers, they go away. But you know what we are as Americans? Selfish. We want low prices, and we want counties and governments want to feel good about job numbers,
right?
And they welcome Walmart. Hey, Walmart, you're going to employ 100,000 people in our town over the course of the next 5 years. Yeah, we're going to help you build. We're going to waive your taxes. We're going to waive all your duties and fees and permits and everything else. We just need the jobs. And I'm not bashing. The people at Walmart are genius.
Oh, yeah.
They've got you wrapped around their little finger. America, you want low prices? You're going to have a store where we have shitty wages and we have shitty products. But by God, they're going to be low prices.
Right.
That's what we just jumped into the water ourselves.
Right. You're absolutely
right.
People
stop shopping mom and pop groceries. Remember when you grew up? I grew up in San Francisco. About every neighborhood had a little grocery store where
my question is where are the? Oh, wait a minute. Those are the middle class that get overtaxed. Why aren't they getting a kickback from the government? Oh, wait a minute, you're only employing 3 employees. So, you know, why would we do that?
Right. I mean, the whole thing is so egregious. And I guess my point is 1 in 5 Americans taking assistance through the food program. That's just the food program, bro.
Oh, that's
just, you know,
and I read you all the programs that were there. I only read about a third of what they do. But, I mean, there is so much money that's being thrown around. I mean, and the other thing is, there are people out there that truly need help.
I agree.
And
but does
could
have
you
to be
imagine?
The government?
Let's say we took 60% of the people that probably don't need to be on any type of assistance off of it. Could you imagine how well we could assist those other people?
I agree with that thought process, but I'll also give an example from Sunny Slope. Excuse me. The Desert Mission has been around for 127 years. And every Thursday, if you go in there, you can buy food as anybody. But the rest of the time, they give away food, right?
Right.
I'm talking about St. Mary's Food Bank. You've heard of that? You've seen it on TV? They're promoted widely in Arizona. Desert Mission, St. Vincent de Paul.
Right.
Now, listen, I don't want to sound like an ass, but does it sound like there's some double dipping going on? Because if I'm all these nonprofits and I hear St. Mary's Food Bank and St. Vincent de Paul and Desert Mission on ad nauseum.
Right.
There's people starving. They need money. And we're going to give them, you donate to us and we're going to give them fabulous meats and cheeses and corn and lettuce and whatever.
Right.
And they do. St. Mary's Food Bank claims to serve millions of Arizonans every year.
Right.
So why do we need SNAP?
Why what?
Why also SNAP? Right?
I don't know.
I'm just asking the question. It's not even philosophical. It's practical. Do you ever go to the store? And people are going to think I'm a jerk for saying this. Do you ever go to the store and somebody's got, like, you know, the 20-piece pack of New York strips and all the fancy pants stuff in their cart, and they pull out the Arizona SNAP card and pay for it?
Well, they're entitled to that.
My point is, they're not. The state is not Grandma Goose that just shits golden eggs for everybody and their uncle. Well, without tipping the scales against everyone.
Right.
Because at the in a certain level, I just stop working. I close my shop. You can stop being a cop, because if you get everything for free, why work?
Well, yeah, exactly. No, I totally agree.
It's a false
agree.
Socialist yeah, utopia.
It, absolutely. Absolutely. And it goes up every single year. Goes up every single year.
If the government stopped giving away the Golden Goose and people had to go to the Desert Mission or had to go to St. Mary's Food Bank and had to live with relatives, they would have to get off their proverbial asses and do something.
I'll read you. I pulled up a 2021 Arizona Governor Ducey signs $12.8 billion budget with a big tax cut. Blah, blah, blah. It says the $1.9 billion in annual tax cut alarmed Democrats. Of course it alarmed Democrats. What do they scare you? What do they scare you with?
Taking money from programs.
Schools, health care, schools and health care. They throw that and they throw that and they throw that at you.
Right. And but why is the government paying for health care? Do you pay for your own health care?
Yeah.
Does the government, should I be cared for by the government health care?
No.
And by the way, let's counter that really quickly. In the budget we downloaded today,
right.
Perforated.
Right.
This year, year over year, fiscal year 22, schools got $124 million raise just to cover teacher salaries because of Red for Ed. So they can lie all they want.
Sure.
There's no decline in money for schools.
Oh, no. No.
Because everybody knows when you're 47th in the nation, that's 47th shittiest in the nation out of 50, every teacher deserves a raise so they can do better.
Well, and I will tell you...
Which was their argument, by the way.
Well, and I will tell you... It's not all the teachers' fault.
I agree.
It's what we're given them. It's what we're given them to work with. We're not... When you... And this is where you get the free lunches and the free breakfasts and stuff like that. But when you don't feed your kids, don't wash them, don't clothe them, and you send them off to school, they haven't been read to, they haven't been loved, they haven't been fed, and you send them to school, how in the hell are those teachers, how are you going to climb out of that 47th?
Well, let's address that head on.
Right.
Why is it not prosecutable that you don't feed your kids? Why do I see billboards in Phoenix say 1 in 5 kids are going to go to bed hungry tonight? Why are those parents not in jail? Because it's a burden to the state.
You know why? Because
you got to take the kids.
Because it's not against the law to have children.
It's not against the law not to feed your children?
Well, of course it is. By letter of the law.
Shouldn't
absolutely.
It be abuse? Isn't that abuse?
Of course it is.
If you're out driving a proverbial Cadillac and you're driving a $1,000 cell phone and your kid doesn't have dinner, you'd go to jail.
Well.
But now we've got 23,000 kids in foster care already.
Right.
The state has to do one thing or the other, right?
Right. Yeah.
So they're going to put the money into the school because it's cheaper than child care.
Yep.
See what we're locked into? We're locked into a never-ending story.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't make this shit up. You can't make it up. You can't. And I tried to go through and read almost all of the 700 pages of the budget, and I just shake my head.
I'm surprised I found you breathing.
I thought I gave birth to an accountant. Jesus. I was like, there is so much money. So much money. And let's call it 40, let's call it $25 billion. $25 billion, $30 billion. And that just, let's use that around 3 times 5 is 15. That is $1,500,000,000 for the entire United States in, I mean, that's a lot of money.
No. That's just a pittance.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we just got $5 trillion rolled out of Congress.
Oh,
that's a pittance.
For Christ's sake. It's,
You said it very well. You can't make this stuff up. I'm almost at the point where I'm calling it. I'm throwing it in the towel. America, we're living in the echo of a republic. There's no – I don't – is there a way back?
Way back.
That's a too That's too deep of a question for tonight.
Sure, there is a way.
I don't think there's a way back.
I can do it. I'll tell you the quickest way.
Go ahead.
Turn the tap off and let Darwin take over.
Okay.
Ooh.
But what does that mean?
Well, would the Democrats support that, though? What's that?
We got to depose Congress.
Right.
They need to be replaced with fiscally conservative, reasonable people. Everyone. This movement, you remember this movement in 2010 when I ran for Senate in Nebraska? The Tea Party movement?
Yeah.
Where it was
like,
never vote for an incumbent.
Right.
And everyone else, I mean, everybody really mentally masturbated and just hired incumbents again.
Right.
Because nobody gets the message.
No.
The people in power are busted. So if you keep electing them as incumbents, it's your fault.
Absolutely.
Your fault. America, you made the bed. You're laying in
it. You got
ran. And there is, if we keep electing incumbents, that's brass tacks, by the way.
Well, and I tell you.
I don't care if you like them or not. On principle, stop voting for incumbents. Let them go in, do their job, 2 years, 4 years, whatever it is, and get out. If you're voting for incumbents, America, you're part of the problem.
Right.
That's it, bottom line. Because this is never going to end. And we're going to sit around this table, and we're going to talk about this fiscal. It's a fiscal circle jerk, bro. These guys are just whizzing on each other. This money, these numbers are so engorged, to pun intended, you can't make any sense of them.
No.
You can't.
No.
And that's just here in Arizona.
I shake my head right now. I shake my head. I just...
I don't know. There's so many great people that do so many great things. We want to obviously tip a hat to all the school teachers, everybody, cops, firemen. Everybody's doing the job, right? Because none of that's easy. And I don't want anybody to think that we're bashing them.
No.
Because we're not bashing them.
No, not at all.
But the politicians that make this shit up and the people that get behind these socialist ideas. And I didn't mean to rag on school teachers when I said, hey, you're getting a raise when you're 47th shittiest out of 50. Other than you guys let some people from Chicago march you downtown saying, if you just give us more money, we'll give you better results. I think that's a failed ideology.
No, because it's got nothing to do with money. Because I've sat in the – I will tell you this. I'm in charge of my school resource officer program.
Right.
I meet teachers all the time. They are dedicated, hardworking people.
Right.
Whether they're making $25,000 a year or $55,000 a year or $100,000, they're still good teachers.
Right.
Okay? And maybe you get more teachers and less in a class, that sort of thing, and I get that. But again, we go back to the fact that we throw money all day kindergarten, all day preschool, after school,
food, free lunches.
How much money are you going to throw at it before you realize that it has nothing to do with the problem at hand?
Right. Because nobody in that level of administrative power wants to.
Darwin's going to win on this.
Right. But they don't want to confront families and say, families, it's your fault. Because families are looking at schools like, hey, it's your fault.
Right.
Well, we're not going to push back against the people because we're afraid of the backlash. But
right.
The truth is, I'll say it out loud. If your kid goes to bed hungry at night and you're driving a new cell phone and a brand new car.
Shame on you.
Shame on you, but I would prosecute you.
No, I agree with that.
I mean, I'm just saying all this nonsense.
I've seen it. I was standing in line the other day. There's a pretty girl, you know, probably 25, 26 years old. She's got a couple of children, cute little family, very well-dressed, manicured feet, manicured hands.
Right.
You know, she had an iPhone quadrillion, but she's paying with EBT. I've got a major issue with it. That's not fair to the people that say, you know what, I'm not going to take that because I need to earn it.
But that's precisely our point here.
Right.
The government is saying you don't need to be responsible anymore because we got you, boo.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, God rest his soul, you know, he lived almost 91. He would say to me all the time over the last 5, 6, 7 years, you have to address this issue in the public square because the government has become husband, nanny, lover, bitch to all these people.
But you know what, though? If you've got 1 in 5, if you've got 20-25% of the people and you can get them to vote, they're going to vote for you every time. Why would they vote to get rid of you if you're going to give them free stuff?
Well, here's the flip side of that analogy. And I'm going to be crude here. Those cocksuckers don't even vote.
Probably
not.
You know,
they don't vote. No. By demographic, they don't vote. They'll claim that, you know, I don't even know anything about it. I've seen all the numbers.
Right.
County by county, America splits in half by the people who are in the middle class or above, people who are engaged in social activities, and by people who have been influenced by organizers. And guess what? They don't even bother with those people because they're chattel to them.
Right.
They really are just power blocks to them. Hey, look at all these people that we help. Right? And I'm going to accuse the Democrats of this most egregiously, but everybody's responsible. Ducey's responsible. Everybody is. Look at all these people we help. We need to stay in power because we help all these people. And all those people, they don't even vote. They don't care. It's the people that have this false sense of...
guilt?
Not just guilt, but who's in charge, right? Let's just say the people have just let loose of eternity. There's no God. There's no anything. So the government, it's the government's responsibility. In fact, you know, Bruce and Greg, you guys are white. You have these jobs. I run my own business. You work for the city. You owe these people.
And don't you love, in fact, it just makes my skin crawl. You ever, when people are asking you for a handout,
yeah,
give back. I hate that. I hate that. I hate that. As if I was given anything and I'm going to give back or pay it for. I hate all those analogies. You know what? I'll give. I give plenty.
Sure.
I give plenty.
But that's between you and the good Lord.
Right. But you know what? I don't mind bragging about that because that's the right thing to do.
Absolutely. We should encourage more people. You know, I just as a matter, not a brag, just a fact, we have a human first policy at Lifeboat Coffee. If you come in off the street, you're going to have a cool drink of water or a cup of coffee and a snack. No questions asked. We don't. If you can't pay for it, we just give it to you. That's
you
fine.
Wonder why I keep coming.
Yeah. Policy just changed. I got all these cops coming around all the time.
But where are all these cops coming from? You know what? And I like that. I think that's a great. I think that's a great idea. I think that's giving. I think that's giving, and it's giving out of the kindness of your heart. And these people aren't going to come back and buy anything because they don't have any money.
No.
And so you're not really doing it for increased business. And maybe somebody sees you and says, hey, well done, and maybe they come back. Maybe that perpetuates a little bit business, but you're doing it for your heart. You're doing it to make yourself feel good.
To be honest with you, I do it for the peril of my soul.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put my soul in peril. Like, somebody asks for something, I give it graciously. I have a hard time passing up street corners. I mean, I've learned to look the other way only because I know that in my heart of hearts that...
They're abusing it.
Right. But I've seen legitimate cases where I pulled over and given guys water and a snack.
I've also had. Oh, absolutely. In fact.
But if you carried money in your pocket and you drove around Phoenix and you just gave to everybody who asked you,
you'd be broke.
My grandfather, my mother's father, was told by my grandmother to stop carrying coins in San Francisco because he'd come home every day with nothing in his pocket. But I guess what I'm saying is, you have to have some prudence, but we're going to flip that back around. Like, you and I we can banter about this all day, but the government, the idea that the government is just giving it away, and you don't even have to work anymore. Did you read that today?
No.
You don't have to work anymore.
Don't have to.
By the way, let's everybody sign up for assistance because they took away the work requirement. You don't because it's too hard.
Right.
But the headline, go to ArizonaCares.com. The headline reads, apply for cash, medical assistance, and food assistance, wait for it, from the comfort of your own home.
Oh, God. How can they do that?
I almost died.
How can they do that?
Well, because they get free internet now.
Oh, shit. That's right.
Well, or it's $9.99. Now, I have to pay $100 a month for my internet. But if you sign up
through... You should.
If you sign up through...
you're privileged.
DES, you can get internet for $9.99 a month. Did you know that?
Yeah, and you probably you have to fill out a little 3x5 card that says I don't make any money, and I'm sure they...
I don't think you have to do that anymore. I think you just have to fill everything out.
Jesus.
I don't think there really is any requirement anymore.
Aren't you embarrassed?
We're two generations into non-embarrassment.
You should be embarrassed. You should be embarrassed. Have some self-respect for heaven's sakes.
And now Jack in the Box takes snap cards. Hey, bros, we got stoned all night. Let's roll into Jack in the Box and buy tacos with my
snap
card.
And then you'll hear the argument that, that's the only – it's cheap. That's the only thing they can afford, and that's why
– Well, fuck, dude. I'm sorry. Excuse me. The government's paying for it. Buy steak at the store. Why do you have to go to 99 cent Taco Land?
You know what? Because you can buy more. Oh, absolutely. You can buy more that way.
I know, but it's never ending. This is insanity. The fact that we have to talk about this is insanity. Because there isn't anybody, there's no check on this, right? Did the government come to you and ask you, did you want to increase the budget this year?
No.
Was there a plebiscite? Was there a referendum to the state of Arizona? Hey, Arizonans, what do you feel like about increasing these benefits by 15% month over month?
Great idea. No.
Well, how does the government act outside of public scrutiny?
Well, then.
That's a question I'd like to know.
It's a representative government.
Right, but shouldn't we be informed? Don't they have the franking privilege? Shouldn't we be informed in real time about what they're doing?
Absolutely.
With the internet, don't you think they could have like a little boop, boop, boop? Hey, we're going to think about this.
How's that go again?
Boop, boop, boop. You like that?
I love it.
Okay.
No, I agree. I agree. And you know what? With the advent of social media, absolutely. Governor Doug Ducey or his IT team could very easily poll everybody on certain things.
And it's a legislature. They have the sole responsibility to represent us.
Right.
The governor is
If he wanted the legislator to take the legislature to take up an item, and, you know, he could very easily reach out through IT.
Well, I'm just saying there should be interaction with the people, like feedback. If it's a representative government, don't they have to reach out and find out what the people are thinking, at least?
One would think.
Or no. I mean, they don't have any responsibility. When's the last time you received anything from your district legislator?
Only when it comes to
election time. They want a donation.
Yeah.
Haven't I done a great job? Let's say it was me. Great. Haven't I done a great job? I've stayed in touch with you this whole time. Well, actually, I haven't. But can I have more money? That would be me.
Sure.
I'd be like, hey.
I need to give back.
You need to pay it forward into the legislature.
Oh, God. Yeah, I just... my eyes are crossing. I'm looking at all this budget crap, and
some of that stuff out loud. I got to take a quick break.
All right. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, well, let's go back to the Arizona Department of Economic Security. Let's see. We talked about basic needs, child and family, employment, older adults, disabilities, employers. Under older adults, we have adult protective services, home and community-based service, healthy living, Medicare assistance, which is a really big chunk of our budget. I mean, I want to say it's $1 billion a year. Legal services assistance, family caregiver support, senior community service employment program, long-term care, aging publications, community action agencies, aging and disability resource. Oh, my gosh. And then under disabilities. Now, here, under disabilities, you know what's funny? Under disabilities, that's the smallest group of things that are listed. I mean, under basic needs, employment, and older adults and employers, that they got all kinds of programs. Under disabilities,
not so much.
Not so much. But here's a perfect example of where DES probably is getting it right. You know, you got a kid like Tara's boy, Caden, that was born with EDS and POTS and is fighting off all kinds of stuff. His medication a month is $35,000 a month. When you put a retail tag on it, how do you? I mean, I don't care. You could be a millionaire. You're not going
to
pay.
How do you say no to a mom with a
kid? You don't. But that's what it's for,
right?
Not the yo-yo out there that's got the iPhone gazillion sitting in line buying frickin' beer or whatever else with his EBT.
Right.
You know, I mean, how much more good care could we do for the true needy, the true people that have gotten truly the shaft?
I just mean this I mean it sincerely, but why wouldn't this shift to the responsibility of some like nonprofit hospital? Why is it on the taxpayers' dollars to save Tara's kid if he's savable, right? I guess it goes to the heart of it all, right?
Say that again.
Why is it the government's responsibility to attempt to save Tara's child when a nonprofit or a church could do the very same thing?
Yes and yes is what I'm saying. I mean,
no, I'm just being the devil's advocate here. I don't mean to.
No, I agree. The problem is The problem is,
because you're left asking people who deserves it more than someone else.
Right. Right.
And somebody's got to make that moral decision. And I don't think that the government's very good at that.
No, no.
But I'm just, as an example, we brought this up.
Right.
If they were involved in a church or a different community or a nonprofit, that nonprofit could make the decision to help them or not help them, and they could move along the chain of command.
Well,
right?
And they have a deciding, they can decide.
Yes.
And the government will just do it. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I'm just on the
and I'm agreeing with you, and that's the reason why they got away from that is because, you know, we don't want to be judgmental. You know, the thought was is, you know, if a non-Christian needs help,
exactly,
this church isn't going to help them, which is absolute horseshit.
Absolutely,
absolute. When we go out there and we help the homeless through our church, we don't ask them. We tell them who we are and who we're involved with.
You got to pull your Christian card to
get a sandwich. Oh, yeah. No, you, if you don't have a Christian card, oh, my God, if you're Muslim, you're not getting a thing.
Do you love Jesus, you get a sandwich. Yeah.
Yeah. No, no, no. We could care less.
You're out.
Yeah, we could care less.
Yeah.
It don't matter what color.
But that's the whole point of Christianity.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Well, then, is it too harsh to say, and again, this is harsh because we're friends with these people, and I don't mean it to be this specific, but is it the government's responsibility to save his life? Because he's going to die anyway. The kid has got a very terrible prognosis. And we're going to spend $35,000, $50,000 a month to stave off the inevitable. And I know that's crass, but that's brass tacks, right? And I guess what I'm asking is...
You know what? I will say yes in her sense, because that is so unfathomable. When it comes to the problem, I agree with it. Yes, I do. I know her personal situation.
Yes.
I know her personal situation. I don't care who you are. I mean, I make good money. I could not afford that.
Okay, then let's stop and pivot.
Okay.
My second oldest daughter would die without insulin. It costs her thousands every month. She can't afford to buy toys for a kid. Why doesn't the government buy her insulin? Or people that are dying of cancer all over the country. My best friend's wife was killed by cancer. Her treatment was $400,000 before she died. She had to pay for it privately. If the government is doing this, then why don't they do it all?
Well, that's a good devil's advocate question. Absolutely. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is with it.
Right. But it's very difficult because then we get into the
human
into
part.
This. Right.
That's the human part.
And this is where.
But
those
you know
people
what?
On the other side of the aisle
but
use that leverage.
What?
You don't care about people.
No, and yes, I do. I care about the ones that are truly in. I know, and I'm answering that from their perspective. I do. I'm talking about the people that truly can't do it. I'm talking about the people that are abusing the system.
I agree with
and
that.
And the
too.
Money that's spent on just frivolous nonsense over and over and over again.
For instance, this COVID vaccine, these. Three companies have become trillionaires overnight. But again, getting back to the issue of cancer or heart problems, or you've brought it up before, obesity, right? Where are those drugs? Why did the government not pay for all that? They kill way more people, right? Cancer and heart disease kill way more people than COVID.
Oh,
why
God,
is the government
yes.
not giving out free candy for that?
Or why aren't they passing laws? I mean, we're passing laws that you got to wear a stinking mask. Why aren't we outlawing McDonald's?
Right.
Why aren't we outlawing the super big gulps and stuff like that that create these issues?
But if you don't walk 6 miles a week, you don't get to shop.
Yeah, in fact, we're going to put a little freaking computer chip on you.
Right.
And if you don't take 6,000 steps a day, your fat ass is out.
And you don't get your chip to eat that night.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But it seems like that's where we're going.
Well, absolutely that's where we're going.
So, you
know what? And I will agree with that 100%. And here's what, but you got to give me this. I will, right now, I will agree to universal health care as long as you have to pass a test to have a child.
I would agree with a pre-sexual counseling. And I agree. In the public square, if the public is paying for everything.
Absolutely.
I want you to have, just like you get a fucking tag to go elk hunting, you got to buy a tag to breed.
Right. And you know what?
It's not cheap.
No. And here's my libertarian nonsense for you. You know what? You want to smoke drugs? You want to use meth? You want to use heroin?
No.
Absolutely.
Healthcare. No health care.
But you know what? As soon as you're having a problem and you can't hold a job and you can't eat, you're shit out of luck.
But you can't have it both ways,
bro. Can't have it both ways.
You can't have it both ways, right?
You're right.
So we're that's why we make it this rabbit hole, which I feel like we're really already in the rabbit hole. We're in the rabbit hole.
And you know,
and I want to set the record clear in case she listens. Tara, we love you. We love Caden. I don't mean to stand like in judgment of anything. I'm just saying programs, once you get to this point, if you get help, which I'm glad you're getting, everyone probably should get some help. And that's what they use as leverage, right? Look at this poor kid. He's jacked. And we're going to help him. Nobody would argue with that. We're all going to sit back and go, yeah, that's a great thing.
I think we're coming to the end.
But you know what I'm saying.
No, I know. And again, and you know, obviously, there's a lot of oversimplification. I mean, this is such a humongous issue that, you know, we're bitching and whining about the government being way too involved. It needs to be scaled back. I don't know where to. I would love to just turn it off, but then, you know, you'd have hundreds of thousands of people dropping over dead because there are legitimate people out there that need help. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is with that. I think it needs to be scaled back. I think the answer lies back with the foundation of your family. If you, I mean, my buddy told me this, and I agree with this. I don't know where the hell he got it, but he goes, high school education, get a job, get married, and then have kids. Chances are, you're going to be just fine. You may not be rich, you may not have the biggest house or the fanciest cars, but if you do things in that order, you're probably going to be okay. The problem is we're asked backwards on that. We go have a kid, we're 16, we don't get a job, we don't get an education, and then you know what? And it just snowballs from
there. Well, you don't have to anymore.
Well, and it's, you know, and that our response to that, and I'm sure the people that are in charge of these programs, I'm sure of it, as I'm sitting here today, care about people. There's no doubt in my mind, and they believe what they're doing is right. They believe that there's lots of people out there that need help. I will tell you from my very unique position, I think it's horseshit. I think there's plenty of people out there that are abusing this, that don't need this, and need to be held responsible. But we don't, again, back to that, we don't hold anybody responsible. Tara, that she's one out of many that I've seen that I will tell you that there's nothing else that can be done. There's nothing else. Her mom is, she's living with her mom. Her mom's taking care of all the bills. She cannot work. It's absolutely impossible. Not to mention she has the same shit as her son does, and she's still running it. So on that case, absolutely. There is a plethora of money out there. But imagine if, let's say we cut the budget, let's say we cut the usage of this by, well, we have a $30 billion budget. Let's say we cut the budget by 15% or cut the usage by 15, 20%. How many of Terras that are truly in need could be really, really helped?
No, you bring up a good point. In the arena of human life, every hospital system has what's known as an ethics board. I've seen their testimonies. I've watched them pick and choose who gets care, right?
Right.
The same could be done in the nonprofit square. It's often done that way. The federal government, the state government would have to set up what we all feared under Obama. They call them death panels, but they're ethics panels, right? Who gets the care?
Well, right? they're
and nobody would be happy with that.
Oh,
and that's
No. There's people out there that would be happy with that. There's people out there that would be absolutely happy. Who was that? Who was Rahm Emanuel's brother that wrote Obamacare?
Oh, yeah.
That son of a bitch, he had the nerve to say, 75 years old, that's plenty. That's plenty. Who the hell does he think he is?
No, right. No, I mean,
but mentality
but
of the
they
death.
They are thing. In that mentality,
you
and that's where Medicaid expansion will go.
Right.
And that's where it's going to happen. Because there's no other way around it. They're not going to stop this.
No.
Right? There are going to be Medicaid panels in every state that do an ethics committee review of every
case.
But
you know what? If people, again, God dang it, we go back to the same foundation. If you do what you're supposed to and raise your kids and educate them and love them and create a sense of pride in ownership and workmanship and craftsmanship, chances are they're not going to need the public dole. But we don't do that. That's the problem.
All right, we're in an hour here. I want to ask this last question before we jump off, and we can pick it up another show.
Right.
You've heard it said, so I ask you, do you think universal health care is a right for every American?
No, I do not.
But you're aware it exists in Medicaid.
Oh, absolutely. Right? If I go to the hospital right now with a stuffy nose, and I go to the emergency room, they got to take care of me.
And you don't have the ability to pay, they'll pay it.
Yeah, absolutely. We have universal health care.
Yeah, and
we call it Arizona Medicare.
Right. No, I guess what I'm saying is, for another time, I mean, the idea that you won't be taken care of by a just nation is just
how about, false. You know what? Again, we talked about this also before. The conservatives that would be against all this stuff would probably be far more supportive in that universal health care thought process if we had a return on our investment. And I'm talking about you get 8 weeks of unemployment, not 8 years. 8 weeks, 16 weeks of housing. Or, you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're
saying. I think
that's a reality.
And you know what? Universal health care, okay, I'll concede universal health care. But you're not allowed to go. You're not allowed to go to the emergency room where it's very, very expensive. You're not allowed. You have to go. Not to mention, you know, we get, you know, if we're going to pay for it, we have a say in it. We should have a say in it.
Right. I mean, I think well checks or the checkups, you know. But you see where we're going with this? We just have more and more overlays. And
right.
It just doesn't end. Let's just call it. Where's the button?
Give me my gun.
I mean, there's just no way out.
Yeah. Well, and I guess that's what our whole program was tonight,
right,
was to show how out of control this system is and how it's just going to snowball and snowball and snowball until, and again, we talked about this before, until we're sitting at a 40% food line, nothing's going to happen. But you got 40% of people standing in a food line, people are going to get tired of this shit.
I don't think the feds are going to let that happen. I think they're just going to throw food out there until they keep printing money until there's the end of time. There's nothing stopping them.
Well, I want my free money.
I kind of want mine, too.
All right.
You had enough?
I've had enough.
I think it was good.
My head hurts.
We brought a little morality play into this. We brought it down to the real world. And the good people listening to Countermeasures tonight on Spotify and Anchor FM can get a sense of, you could have this conversation anywhere in the United States. You're going to have the same conclusion. We don't have the answers necessarily, but the conversation is worth having because someday we're going to have to fix this.
It's going to fix itself, and Darwin is right now. Darwin is just wringing his hands, and he's salivating right now. He's going, "You dumbasses!"
All right, I tend to agree with that. For tonight, thanks for tuning in to Countermeasures. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
And we'll talk to you next week, God willing, and the creek don't rise.